genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is a new year, a new way of seeing things. Each of my three guests will give us a fresh perspective for 2011. My first guest is one of the country's leading top leadership trainers. He'll explain the science of extraordinary achievement and give us the secret to getting from where we are to where we want to be. My second guest is one of the country's top financial reporters. She's the anchor of CNBC's Street Signs and the co-anchor of Squawk on the Street. We'll go behind the burqa to learn about her reporting in the Middle East. My third guest will give us a new way of looking at our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. He's done research to prove the Euclidean geometry is the reason why the self-educated man could produce such inspiring words. Can't wait to hear that. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Mark Murphy is the founder and CEO of Leadership IQ, a company that leads one of the world's largest studies on goal setting and leadership. His groundbreaking research has been featured in Fortune, Forbes, Business Week, all the business periodicals that you can think of. Mark has been featured on CBS News Sunday Morning, and he's also been on ABC's 2020 and Fox Business News as well. He's written two books. His latest book is titled Hard Goals: The Secrets to Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. Some of his other well-known research studies include How Smart Goals Are Dumb, Why CEOs Get Fired, Why New Hires Fail, and Don't Expect Layoff Survivors to Be Grateful. Boy, how true that is. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you today?
Thanks, Billy. Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you as our guest today. So, you know, it's the first workday of the brand new year. Listeners are gung-ho to tackle all of their New Year's resolutions or their goals for 2011. And that's why the title of your book, Hard Goals, is so frightening. Hard Goals is actually an acronym. So what does the acronym HARD stand for?
It stands for, the H is for heartfelt, that's the emotional connection we have to have with our goals. A is for animated, we have to be able to visualize them. R is for required, we have to have some urgency here. And D is for difficult. The more difficult the goals, the better our performance.
The more difficult the goals, the better our performance. Now, I want to dig into that a little bit since you led with that. You know, how difficult is difficult? I mean, I look at goals and of course, some of the most significant things I've done in my life were hard, and I guess that's why they were significant. But tell us, why does a goal need to be more difficult or be as difficult as possible?
Well, you know, you put your finger right on the central issue here, which is if you think about the great achievements in your life, the things that filled you with the deepest sense of pride, the things that are going to stick with you throughout the entirety of your life, every one of those things was difficult. It was outside of your comfort zone, generally by about 20, 30, 40% outside your comfort zone. And it was something that required you to learn new things and to think in a different way. And what we found is that when people do that, when they pick a goal that requires them to learn something new, when it requires them to think a little differently, which means having a difficult goal is not saying, well, I'm just going to work 20 hours a day doing the same exact thing. That doesn't count. It has to be outside of the comfort zone, thinking in a different way, learning new things. When that happens, the reason why it elevates our performance is that it engages the brain. that, you know, I mean,
now you're talking.
Your show, I know, I'm speaking your language now. This is the thing, when the brain lights up, performance increases. It's not like that drive to work where, you know, if we got the show on, awesome. But if we don't, we're sort of coasting in and half paying attention. We're not paying attention to the route we take to work. We're sort of, you know, that's sleepwalking. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. With a goal, we want the brain to be alive and activated where we're thinking, oh, wow, I got to really pay attention here.
All right, we're talking to Mark Murphy, everybody. And Mark, your acronym HARD, heartfelt, animated, required, and difficult, that's another acronym. I'm used to the more traditional SMART goals, and people who've been in business for a while knows that SMART stands for specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and somehow time-based. How is HARD goals, the acronym, different from SMART goals?
One of the studies we did was about organizations that were using SMART goals, and we asked employees, frontline employees, are the SMART goals you've set for this year going to help you achieve great things? And here was the real kick in the gut. 15% of employees said, yes, my SMART goal is going to help me achieve great things. Now, okay, that was sort of step one. We looked at this and said, are we out of our minds? I mean, who in the right mind would use a methodology that, you know, about 1.5 out of 10 people say is actually going to help me do something good? And then we looked at it and took it a step further and said, well, let's go ask the CEOs of these companies. CEOs must be using SMART goals, right? And we looked, and not a one of them. We said, well, what's going on here? Why aren't you guys using the SMART goals? They said, well, first off, you know, achievable and realistic, these are not parts of our goal-setting vocabulary. When we set goals, we want them to be big goals. We want them to be hard goals. That's what we want to do. And then you talk to guys like Steve Jobs at Apple and Jeff Bezos at Amazon. This thing, listen, we have to be outside of our comfort zone. Steve will say, I've got to put a dent in the universe. Those are the kinds of goals we set, and then we turn around and we give our employees a little worksheet, and we make them the color by numbers and make it achievable, make it realistic, and don't think too hard, and don't push yourself too much. And we wonder why these goals aren't achieving anything. What we're recommending is actually, listen, if you want to set goals, you want to avoid the colossal failure rate that most goals have, set goals more like the CEO does. They're emotional, they're difficult, they're visualized, they're messy, they're all over the place. But, boy, do we get caught up in them. Are they inspiring? Do we get attached to them? That's the central issue here.
All right, let's talk about HARD goals and talk about your acronym in more detail. The HARD stands for heartfelt, animated, required, and difficult. And let's just start right at the beginning. Heartfelt. When you say heartfelt, are you referring to emotion there? Tell us what does that mean?
It means that we have to get emotionally connected to our goals. We have to mentally take ownership of our goals. If we say, you know, well, I'm doing the goal because, you know, my boss told me to do it, that is a pretty good predictor of whether or not the goal is going to fail. If we say, you know, I want to lose weight because, I don't know, my next door neighbor lost 20 pounds and I figured maybe I should do it, that's not an emotional connection.
Right.
We have to mentally own this goal. If we can't say, you know what, this goal is going to benefit me. I feel connected to it. When I talk about this goal, I actually feel something. If we don't have that level of emotion attached to the goal, then you listen to the great entrepreneurs, great CEOs, they get caught up. They get emotionally attached to their goal. If you don't personally take ownership of it, the goal's not going to work.
All right. We're talking to Mark Murphy, everybody, author of the book HARD Goals, The Secrets of Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And Mark, I want to put some spin on that, the first one, the heartfelt. Suppose you set a goal, and in beginning, the goal, you didn't have your heart into it. But can you work yourself into that heartfelt, that emotional state, once you've decided on a goal, sort of after the fact?
Absolutely. In fact, this is one of the critical elements here. Goal setting is not a one-shot deal. Goal setting is a continual process because any goal worth doing is going to be hard, but it's going to hit some bumps along the way. There's no way you're going to do something worth doing and not have a dark moment or two along the way. And so goal setting is a constant attaching ourselves to the goal, constant reinvigorating our brain to want to go achieve this thing. And with the heartfelt, with the emotional attachment, maybe the goal starts out with your boss. Maybe it starts out with a board of directors. Maybe it starts out, the doctor says, listen, lose 30 pounds and do it now. Maybe it starts there. But you can, through extrinsic, you can reward yourself through personal attachment, doing it for somebody you truly love doing. I got to do it. I want to see my daughter walk down the aisle someday. Those are viable reasons for doing a goal. As long as you sit down and attach yourself to it, you can work on it and grow that attachment over time, and it works just fine.
All right, so that's H, heartfelt. The next in the acronym is A, for animated. Talk to me about animated, and you use Steve Jobs as an example. I think that's a good one. Expand on that a little bit, please.
One of the things we found is that big goal achievers had pretty clear pictures of their goals at the outset. That is, they could visualize them clearly. I always think of Jack Nicklaus, you know, the golfer, saying, I hit every shot in my mind before I ever hit it with a golf club. Steve Jobs is the same way. He can visualize what his product's going to look like. He knows, he can visualize a family sitting down to use his products. He knows what it's going to look like in their living room. Then his job becomes translating that to everybody else. That's the difficulty of Steve Jobs' day, is translating it to everybody else. And what we found is that the more you can picture a goal, you know, people get caught up in numbers, and numbers are fine. I don't, you know, I'm not knocking numbers. I'm a numbers guy. But we call it the illusion of specificity. Companies will say, we want to achieve 29% market share. That's great, except your employees have no idea what that looks like. You know, GM did that very famously. And, of course, they didn't hit 29%. They're now down around, like, 19%. It was the illusion of specificity. Nobody knew what that looked like. What they should have said is, here's what the dealers are going to be doing. 800 Got Junk, for example, is a wonderful company. They put the vision board up. We want to get on Oprah. What do? They put a picture of Oprah. They put a picture of their slogans and 800 Got Junk on the coffee cups at Starbucks. And one by one by one, they achieved these goals because they literally drew pictures of it. They made collages. They put charts up. They did anything that would help people envision exactly what the goal would look like. The brain has tremendous amounts of neurological real estate devoted to our visual sense. If you want to lose 20 pounds, don't say you want to lose 20 pounds. Draw a picture of yourself fitting into those skinny jeans. Put a picture of the skinny jeans and the tight black T-shirt on the refrigerator. Use the visual sense. CEOs do it. Weight loss people do it. Olympians do it. Jack Nicklaus does it. That's one of the missing pieces in goal setting.
We're talking to Mark Murphy, everybody, author of the book Hard Goals and The Secret for Getting From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. But, Mark, let me challenge you a little bit on that, because if you set it up and you use imagery, because we are very visually based, Steve Jobs, you said, uses it himself, don't you end up, when you try to translate that image to other people, don't you end up sort of working by committee, and something that starts out as a horse ends up looking like a camel?
That's one of the risks. One of the things that we found is that it's not so much drawing your picture by committee as it is drawing your picture and using that as a teaching tool for everybody else in the organization. So, for example, rather than sitting down and saying, you know, I have a picture in my head, let's all try and draw it together, it's more like drawing the picture and saying, this is what I'm going to achieve. This is what it's going to look like. Now, I need you all to help me achieve this thing. But this is, and we can get there, but this is the thing that we've got to achieve. We have to be able to paint a picture of it such that, and sometimes you can paint the picture with words, you know, you can paint the picture with pictures, but the trick is to get the goal to the point where everybody knows what it is we're collectively trying to achieve. And you see this with goals, you know, painting the picture. Sears, for example, when they had their car service department back years ago, and they started cheating the customers and overbilling and doing all of this because the CEO had painted a picture where they said, we've got to hit this revenue target. They threw the number out there, and they didn't paint the complete picture. They forgot to paint the part of the picture that says, and here's how we're going to treat our customers, and here's how we're going to obey the law, and here's how we're going to have delighted people walking out of our doors, and all of the rest of it. They didn't paint the complete picture, and so there was still uncertainty in the minds of the employees. What exactly is it that you want me to do here? You know, what does the end look like for this thing?
And that's what got them into trouble. We're talking to Mark Murphy, everybody. Mark, now we come to the third letter in your acronym, R, for required. And this is the one that I had the most problem with. So if you would, expand on required.
Required is the sense of urgency that we have for the goal. And what this means is there's a lot of goals that we can look at and say, you know, that'd be a great goal. I mean, that'd be good. But I'll start it tomorrow. I don't need to really do it today. I mean, I'll do it, you know, next week's good. I'll do it after the holidays, for next quarter. And once that happens, there's a almost one-to-one correlation between people saying that and the goal never getting started. So once procrastination starts to picture into this, we've got a really big problem. And so the trick with building a sense of urgency is severalfold, not the least of which is we have to find something on a goal that we can begin today. One of the things that happens, and to your point about, you know, the doing this by committee kind of thing, one of the things that happens is we get ourselves so tied up in knots about all of the various things we should be doing. We end up with, you know, 20 items on our to-do list and all the various components of the goal, and it gets so knotted up that we can't figure anything out. And there's a ton of research that shows very clearly that when people get too many choices, their brain starts to short circuit.
Absolutely.
That, you know, if you put in a supermarket, if you give people the choice of 6 jams versus 24 jams, people buy a lot more jam and jelly when you only give them 6 choices than when you give them 24 choices.
That's
their,
right.
Their brain shuts down with too much. So one of the critical pieces to getting some urgency with your goal is to pick one thing. That's it. One thing you can do today that is going to put you on that path to achieving the goal. The clearer your picture of what the end goal is going to look like, the better off you're going to be. That helps with urgency. And also, the one thing, what's the one thing? And this is something great goal achievers do. They ask themselves every single day, what's one thing I can do today that's going to put me further down the path to achieving this bigger goal? And that's the scary part is, with the amount of wasted time we have in our days and the nonsense and the wasted meetings and everything else we have, you can boil goal success down to doing one thing. Too many people leave work and they're like, I don't know, I busted my hump all day long and I don't feel like I accomplished anything. Do one thing, and that predicts goal success.
Ah, that's great. Mark, and there's so much more in your book that I want to go into. We'll have to have you back sometime in the future. We've been talking to Mark Murphy, everybody, author of the book Hard Goals, The Secrets of Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. This book is really the science of extraordinary achievement. If you're trying to get motivated for 2011, this is a book you ought to go out and buy. Mark, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy.